This is Willie Terry, your roaming labor correspondent for the Hudson Mohawk Network. You know, on Thursday, May the 19th, is the birthday of Malcolm X. And I have as my guest today, Brother Minister X, who will give me some information about Brother Malcolm. So, how you doing, Brother X?
I'm doing well, brother. How you doing?
All right, all right. So, just tell me a little bit about yourself, Minister X.
I've been, like I say, going to Black Liberation Struggle the last 7 years. 8 years. I want to say since 2014, the Frank Brown assassination in out there in Missouri, and that kind of spawned me to develop a relationship with my people, to study, to understand, to read, and that kind of galvanized me to get freedom for our people, realizing that someone could be murdered like that in the way that they were murdered. And, you know, I just wanted to know more. And so I probably start from there. In my previous life, even though I had children and had a college education and been an athlete, it felt like it was farcical, you know, that it didn't matter because I wasn't doing anything to better the life of Black people. So, you know, I joined an organization and led it. We did some very good things over the last 5 or 6 years for our people in the Capital District area. Met some great people, including yourself, brother. And so now it's 2022 and we're still struggling. Mm-hmm.
In the movement, there was a lot of people that got assassinated or killed. So how did it come that you took the name of, you know, the X on your name from Malcolm? How did you get involved with that?
Well, it's interesting you asked this question. I've been asked one other time. Mm-hmm. Malcolm had two reasons why he did it. One was he kept the X even though he had an official name given to him by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad of Shabazz. But he was asked about the X, and he said, the reason why I keep it is two reasons. One, when you ask, I can go through history, I can give a history lesson, meaning X replaces the names that we have now. Those are Johnson and Smiths and Warden and so on and so forth. These names are the names of our white slave masters. The names that we had before European contact, we don't know. They're lost forever. And so, you know, that's part of history that a lot of people don't know, especially Black. And he also said he would keep the X for as long as that, you know, the conditions that exist produced it. And so as long as those conditions persisted and continued, he would continue to go by Malcolm X. So until we were free, he wouldn't recognize his original name given to him.
Well, you know, we don't hear a lot about Malcolm X commemoration and celebration in the Albany area or the Capital District area as compared to Dr. King. So why do you think that is? What's the reason of that?
Well, one of the major reasons was Dr. King was taken by the dominant society. Dr. King's past and his history is pretty deep, and the state that controls everything, controlling apparatus, controls history. When you go to the victor goes to spoils. So once I defeat you, I control not only my history, but your history. And I can make it so that you won't know information unless I give it to you. And that goes along with Dr. King. And so because he led a nonviolent struggle, he is somebody the state can use against Black people. Mm-hmm. And there are many videos where he is saying, listen, yeah, this is a nonviolent struggle. If you can't struggle nonviolently, don't get into it. Love your enemy. So take these beatings, take these whippings, and continue to love them. And maybe they'll allow you a seat at the table, even though you have your own table, and your own restaurants, and your own homes, and so on and so forth. We would like to be with you. And so that's a controlling apparatus. That's saying, I don't want to have control over my destiny or have certain self-determination. Mm-hmm. I want you to control things for me. I want you to control my life, and I'm fine with whatever decisions that you make, even if it means sacrifices, African lives to be taken because of the white power structure produces white men who decide on a whim to kill black men for whatever reason. And so with that being said, they placed King among above everybody else. And so money goes into the history of Dr. King, which they want us to know. People don't know he had gun storages. People don't know he had brothers with guns surveilling his home and protecting his family because his house got burned down sometimes. People don't know that he was okay with the radical movement on the out and the periphery of his marches to make sure that they're protected. But they also don't know that he had connections with, I believe, the Rothschilds and so on and so forth, that he had access to American presidents. And most activists don't have that type of they don't have that type of connection. They don't have those type of resources where you have the head of state that you can call and get you out of jail, you know. So that's not necessarily good for us, but it's great for them to take him and put money into him and put money into his way of struggle. Hey, if black people, if you feel a particular way of how we're treating you, you could take the doctrine of Dr. King, right? And maybe we'll make things better, but that's the way we'd like for you to struggle, right? We will put a rubber stamp on that. Minister Malcolm gets no resources because they know his history and they know he meant self-defense. And it was about defending ourselves against violent racist attacks, which are continuing to this day. And he talked about going to war with the Ku Klux Klan. He said, hey, if you are a white liberal, because he was strategic, white liberals who consider themselves friends or allies of the struggle of black people, you should even feel okay with an extremist group and us defending ourselves against an extremist group. That too, even though he said white liberals are the worst type of liberal there was, or white person there was, because he's fake. You know, he wants you, he smiles in your face, but he wants to keep you in the position that you're in, the inferior position that you're in. He said, you know, get guns. He told brothers, start rifle clubs. You know, he told brothers, you know, I'm going to Africa and I'm going to meet with African presidents and African kings, people who have control and power. And I forget the name of the individual, but he was told, hey, I have guns for you if you got soldiers. I got guns. You have to get your own soldiers. And he brought that back to his organization. And you know, these are run-of-the-mill 9-to-5 brothers and sisters who want to do things better for the community. But he had the connections to revolutionary groups that he couldn't be connected to publicly. But behind the scenes, he was. And the state knew that. The state knew that he had connections to them. The state knew that he knew the leaders of these organizations and stuff. If you check Mike Wallace's interview with Malcolm X, Mike Wallace was trying to push him to admit his connection with them because he had inside information that he did. But Malcolm, being the on-code and the genius man that he was, kept pushing it to the conditions. The conditions are the reason why these groups exist. White men should not ever get comfortable in thinking that black men are willing to live in this manner for the rest of their lives or for generations. That there are a small faction who don't care about death. You know, they want to free their people and they will strike. And so if you don't change things, they'll change those things for you. That wasn't the tongue of Dr. King. So they kept him at 63, the March on Washington, which was contrived and controlled and dominated by the Kennedy administration, got hold of it, got King and put King in front of it. And now he's the hero. And it was them that came up with it. No, it was brothers and sisters in Detroit, Chicago, in New York on the ground who said they were going to go to D.C. and let the chips fall where they may. They were going to stop airlines from coming down. They were going to stop all traffic. That was revolution. And so they had to get in front of it and put King in front of it. And so that's the story they're going to tell. They're not going to tell Malcolm's story because Malcolm got the information and told it immediately. I mean immediately in his next address. So King is always going to be their push man, and they're going to put him out front. I talk to children all the time. They know who King is. Don't hear anything about Malcolm X, and that's done deliberately.